My mic on?
Yes. Take your Bibles, turn with me, 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I heard a man pin this one time. Actually, I've heard a man say this. We can't function without the unction. I thought that was a pretty neat saying. If you pray for Brooke and my son tonight, Jonathan's not feeling well. He's running about 100 degree temperature. And so he's just, there's a lot of things going on, and they're getting ready to leave in 2 days for Indianapolis, Indiana. And my wife's a little scared, flying for the first time with a baby. And now she might be flying with a baby that's sick. And so you pray for her that, and you pray for Jonathan that he'll heal. And pray for me tonight in the Word of God too as well. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. I heard a man pen these words. We can't function without the unction. I'm going to preach a little bit on that tonight, but that's not the title of my message. 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18 through 28. Little children, in the last time, it is the last time, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. Whoso denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that ye have promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you all things, of all things, and is true, and is no lie. Even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, ye may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If ye know that he is righteous, ye know that everyone that doeth righteous is born of God. If you take note in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, I like to preach a little bit of tonight on ye have an unction from the Holy One. Ye have an unction from the Holy One. Father, we love you. We thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, we pray through the Holy Spirit of God tonight that you'll do your work in the hearts of your people. Father, I pray that you'll move me out of the way and that you'll show forth the cross of Christ tonight. Lord, I pray that you'll work in the hearts of your people tonight. Work in my heart, Father. Help me to say the things that you would want to be said, and help me say the things that you don't want me to say. In Christ's name, amen. Aren't you excited that God really hasn't left us here as orphans? Really, God has not left us here for our own devices. But God has saved us for a cause. God is working in this world. We know that because the Holy Spirit of God is in this world working. We know that he is performing things, and he's allowing things to come into light, and he's allowing things to happen today that we may look at and say, well, what's really going on? But we can understand this, that God's still on the throne, that God's still doing his work, and that God will accomplish what he is trying to accomplish. Why do we know that? Because the Holy Spirit of God is dwelling on this earth. We know that Christ came in the gospel records, which the gospel records, there's not four gospels. There's one gospel and four different records. Like this pulpit, y'all see from the front side, and they see from this side, and Mr. sees from this side, and Pastor and I sees from this side. We see this pulpit And we all see the pulpit from different sides, but yet it's still a pulpit. It's the same thing with the gospel records. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is a gospel record of the gospel, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that Christ came to fulfill the law. He didn't come to destroy the law or to do away with the law. He came to fulfill the law. He became that propitiation, as we see in 1 John, the atoning sacrifice that was meant to be sacrificed for the sins of this world. We see that Christ came, but his work just started when he came in the gospel records. It was continued in the book of Acts, and pastors have been preaching through the book of Acts. It's being continued, and the person is being continued through. Since Christ is now off the scene, the Holy Spirit of God is working. Now, the Holy Spirit of God works in this world in a specific way. He does specific things in this world. But understand this too, as a born-again believer, the unction from the Holy One works inside of us with certain things too. We see this word unction, it can also be translated as the word anointing. We find here in just in this portion of Scripture where it's used as anointing in verse 27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. That anointing is a picture of an Old Testament. When the priest came and right after they had dedicated the temple and right after they made the sacrifices, Moses now dedicated Aaron and his sons. And the way that he dedicated them, he separated apart them, and the picture was with oil, which was a picture of the Old Testament of the Holy Spirit of God being poured on somebody. That's the same picture that is used here as anointing. God has poured out his anointing on us. God has not left us to our own devices. God has not left us orphans, but God has left us here with an anointing to get accomplished the things that he wants to get accomplished through us in this world. God is working. We see the way the world's going and we say, wow, what's happening? And we can be deceived by the government. And I heard one writer, Thomas Paine, he wrote Common Sense. Back in the early 1776, he wrote Common Sense. This is what he said. He said the government was a necessary evil. We see today that it's more evil than it is necessary. But we can't rely on the government. The government let us down time and time again. We have an unction from the Holy One. We have an anointing from God himself. Take your Bible to Luke chapter 4. Jesus Christ was speaking here in Luke chapter 4. Starting with verse 14, Luke chapter 4. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit in the Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in the synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. We find here Jesus Christ himself. He comes now into Nazareth, and if you read in verse 14, it says, and Jesus returned in the what? Power of the Spirit. We find here in verse 18, when Jesus was reading the book, he opened up the book of Isaiah, and he found the place where the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me. Jesus Christ himself saw that this anointing was something special from God. God has anointed us to do the work that he has called us to do. For the sake of this message, we're going to use the word unction. It's the same word, same meaning as anointing. Take your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Just to understand about this anointing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And verse 21 and 22. And now he which established us with you in Christ hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given to us the earnestness of the Spirit in our hearts. Paul was saying to this group of people that we have an anointing from God, and we are sealed through who? The Holy Spirit of God. We understand that this word anointing is talking, or the unction is talking about the Holy Spirit of God. If you go back in your Bibles to John chapter 14, chapter 15, and chapter 16, it teaches specific roles that the Holy Spirit does in this world. He's working. We cannot, sometimes it's hard to discern if he's working. But we know that he's in this world working all things for the glory of God. Go back to your Bibles and back to 1 John chapter 2. We'll see some things that the Holy Spirit of God does for us as we are have been and we have the unction of the Holy One. Number one, we can recognize with the unction. In verse 18 through 23, it shows us some things that we can recognize. Look in verse 18. The unction, the Holy Spirit of God, can help us to recognize, help us to see things that the unsaved cannot see, help us to discern what's right and what's wrong. And he gave us a different outlook and a different worldview. He also enabled us or given us the ability to perform the service on this earth. Number one, we see that we can recognize with this unction. What can we recognize? John says it. Little children, it is the last time. What is he talking about? He's talking about the last days. It is a last time. It's word singular. Just like if you go to sin in the Bible, if the words use sin in a singular sense, it's talking about our sin nature. The same thing with this word, the last day, is talking about a period of time or a dispensation in which we are living. See, when Christ came, he fulfilled the law. He fulfilled what God had told him to do. He lived a life that was pure before God, and he was able to bore, and the wrath of God was poured upon him for us, and he tasted death, the Bible says, for all men. And the Holy Spirit of God is now working that we can see that we are living in the last days. In Matthew chapter 24, we see this when Jesus had gave us even an understanding of what to come and what is going to come in the last days. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 4 through 13. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nations shall rise up against nations, and kingdoms against kingdoms, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places, and all these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Man, we are living in that day. But he that shall endure until the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. There is going to be an end time. There is coming a portion of time where Christ is going to come back and he's going to bring his people out. If you read in Revelation chapter 3, or if you read Revelation chapter 1 through 21, and you find in chapter 3 the church stops. It does not come back on the scene until Christ and the millennial reign. What does that mean? That means the church is not going to be here during the tribulational period. It is the last time. The days in which is our period are coming to an end and coming to a close. We can discern that because we have the unction of the Holy Spirit of God. We see that the last days are coming. We see that Christ is going to come and call his people out of this world. Now, understand, when he calls us out of this world, the Holy Spirit is still going to be working in this world to save those that are during the great tribulational period. God is still going to work during that age because there's a portion of Scripture where he says he's going to stick a sickle down and suck and bring up the rest of those that come to know Christ during the tribulational period. If you read in Revelation chapter 3, and you go to verse 11, and I'm sorry that I don't know this 100%, but it talks about how he will deliver us from the great temptation. That means the great tribulational period. He will deliver us from the time in which is going to come on this earth. We can discern, because the unction of the Holy Spirit of God, that we are living in the last days. Can you see that we're living in the last days? Do you see what's being fulfilled for the Scripture? We live in the day that the only time that prophecies really have been filled is in our day right now. Is in the day in which we live, we are living in the last time. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Just a little Bible study, it's okay. It helped me, it helped me to learn. Verse 1, and know this also. It says this, Paul said this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Aren't we living in those days?
Yeah.
Covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Here's a big one, disobedient to parents. Here's another one. This marks our generation, unthankful. And sadly to say, unholy. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers. We are living in the last day. Can you discern those times? Because if you can't, the question is, do you have the unction of the Holy Spirit of God? Because he says one of the things that he does to help us recognize that we are living in the last days. I got another portion of Scripture we can go to. In Peter chapter number, 2 Peter chapter number 3. I love hearing the Bible turn. It knows that people are with you. 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse 4 and 5. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of. That by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out in the waters and in the waters. Here it's talking about, Paul was saying, those that have fell asleep. Am I on the right? I might have put down the wrong scripture. We can recognize that we are living in the last days. We can know that Christ is coming back soon by the last days. Number two, we can recognize, number two in 1 John chapter 2, we can recognize that there are many antichrists. Look at the end of that verse. Even now, it says, as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists. Two times Paul says, or John says, this word Antichrist. In reality, this is the only book of the Bible that Antichrist is used. That word is used as a deceiver, the one that's going to come and deceive. He's going to come on the scene and he's going to deceive. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 24, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible that they shall deceive the very elect. We know that the Antichrist, which is the devil, is going to come on the scene and fill his man to get what he wants accomplished on this earth. But John said, even now, we know, and even now, there are many antichrists. Can you recognize that we are living in that day today? Can you recognize that there's many people that are against God, that are teaching false doctrine? The Bible says doctrine of demons. They are teaching things contrary to the Word of God. They are teaching things contrary to Jesus Christ. Some of them even disguise themselves as the angels of light. They'll say, yeah, you have to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ plus something else. You'll have to be saved plus you have to be added to the church and plus you have to be baptized to be saved. That's a lie. That's a lie of the devil. That's a doctrine of the demons. All we have to do is confess our sins and put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There's many names given to him. He's the accuser, the adversary, that he's called the beast in the scriptures, the deceiver, which we see here, the dragon, the enemy, the evil one, the father of lies, the prince of the power of the air, the son of perdition, the wicked one. This man is now working in this world, and we see the spirit of Antichrist now in our days because there are many Antichrists on the scene now. They're teaching doctrines that are contrary to the Word of God. Do you recognize that? Do you see that? Also, the Holy Spirit of God helps us to recognize that there are apostates. Look in verse 19. And they went out from us, but they were not of us. If they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. We think about this apostate, and the first thing that comes to my mind is Judas Iscariot. He was numbered with the 12 disciples. But what was it? He did not continue with them. In fact, what he did showed that he was not a true disciple of Jesus Christ because he did not continue with him. We have that today. Listen, understand this. I could tell you numbers of people that have left the church and have left the body of believers and turned their back on God and say, I have nothing to do with that anymore. Do you really know what that shows? It shows they were never of us in the first place. Now understand this. Backsliders and apostates are two different things. A backslider is one, he's a born-again believer. He's a born-again believer. He is a Christian who is not following close to the Lord. But when you look deep into his life, he will still say that Jesus Christ is Lord. That is a backslider. An apostate is not a Christian at all. He has turned from revealed truth while still appearing to follow it. We find that's happening in the day in which we live more and more and more. The unction from the Holy One can help us to recognize that there are apostates in our world today. In fact, today we're going to be facing more and more of those because of all the false doctrine that's being taught. And all the false doctrine that people are taking and saying that it's the Word of God. Not only can we recognize the unction of the Holy Spirit that we're living in the last time, that the Antichrist is pretty much working in this world already, and this Bible says Antichrist, little Antichrist, many Antichrists, the spirit of Antichrist is here on people. And it's talking about doctrine being taught. We can recognize that there's apostates in chapter 19 or verse 19, but we can also recognize between truth and a lie. Look in verse 21. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Bible says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist. That's the spirit of Antichrist that denieth that Jesus is Christ, that denieth the Father and the Son. We recognize that we can discern because the unction of the Holy Spirit of God from truth and from a lie. You know, one writer said this, the most dangerous evil is the evil that most resembles the truth. They try to take a lie and wrap it around truth, which can never happen. Truth always separates itself from a lie. We can discern in between a truth. People are trying to mix truth with a lie. No lie, the Bible says, is truth. You know what else is a lie? A lot of people don't believe this, but beguile is a lie. We take the truth and we tell portions of it, but we leave out the rest. The Bible calls that beguile. When we're witnessing to somebody, we need to tell them the whole truth. They need to know. I'm not afraid to tell somebody if they die, they're going to go to hell. Because in reality, without Jesus Christ, that's where they're going. Without the unction of the Holy Spirit of God, God is working in this world. He's working by helping us to recognize that these are certain things in the Bible or certain characteristics of the Holy Spirit of God, not only to recognize that we are living in the last times, but we also see the spirit of the Antichrist and all that. We can recognize that there's apostates, and we can also recognize that the truth, but number two, we can also remain because of the unction. Look in verse 24. Not only can we recognize, but we can remain. Verse 24. Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. In that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you. Ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. For this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Because of the unction, because of the Holy Spirit of God working in this world and working in our hearts and working to do things and show us certain things out of the book of 1 John, we can see some things that we can recognize, but also we remain. We see that word continue. It's the same word as remain. It's a continuation of where we live, where we dwell, where we abide. If we say we're going to remain with Christ, if we say we're going to live with Christ, we will abide with Him. We will live with Him, and it will be a place of dwelling. The Holy Spirit of God will remain and help us to remain in the Lord. The Holy Spirit of God is working, the unction that we're talking about, the anointing God has given to us. John was writing to those that were really in perilous times. Think about the times in which they lived. Nero burnt Rome, 64 A.D., you think about Jerusalem, the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And the book of John was written right after that. We understand the times and the persecutions of the faith. And you got to think about what Nero blamed the Christians for burning Rome. He did all these things and the persecution and the apostate was going rampant in that day. They were burning people at the stake. They were beheading people. They were stoning people. There was, if you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, you would be just awed at the things that Christians have been through. But since we're living in the last day, the perilous times have come. We are seeing it in our day to day. Christians are dying for their faith. People are being beheaded. People are being shot. People are dying day in and day out because of their faith. What makes them remain? Holy Spirit of God. There's coming a day when there's going to be great turmoil, or really more than what it is in this world. There's coming a day in America where we're going to see persecution of our faith. As we turn our back from the Lord, I'm talking about as a nation, not as a church, but as a nation, as we turn our back from the Lord, and as we go farther and farther in sin, God is not pleased with sin. God has to pour His wrath out on sin. It's coming a day where you're going to be persecuted in America for what you believe. And I would even say this. Some of us might even die for what we believe. But what helps us to remain? The unction of the Holy One. That will keep us. 1 John chapter in John chapter 14, 16 to 17, Jesus said this, and I will pray unto the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but because in thee, John chapter 14, let me just go to that. Sorry. John chapter 14. Let me read it from the scripture. And I pray in the Father, and I pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, but it seeth him not, which is what I have. It seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but he know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall abide in you. Not only can we recognize through the unction of the Holy Spirit of God, but we can remain. Remain to do what God has called us to do, to occupy the time in which God has left us here on this earth to accomplish. And then lastly, in 1 John chapter 2, we see not only can we recognize through the unction, not only can we remain, but we can also remember. Look at 26 and 27. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye know, ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you of all things, and is true, and is no lie, even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. John is writing to these people, listen, we can remember what he teaches us because of the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling inside of us. We also find later on in John chapter 14 that he's the one that helps us to remember, or the Bible says to bring things back into remembrance. But what we have to have in our own mind, in our own memory, is the Word of God. In order for him to bring back the things that he wants you to have in your life, you have to commit those things already to memory. A lot of times we don't have answers to say in the time that which we live is because we are not memorizing and meditating on the Word of God. The Holy Spirit, the unction, the Holy Spirit of God will help us to remember the Word of God. And in the day in which we live, we need that. So we see here in 1 John that we have an unction from the Holy One. The Holy Spirit of God that lives and dwells inside of us. God has given to us an anointing on this earth. And that anointing is to see things and to recognize things. And not only to recognize things, but to remember things. And not only remember things, but also to remember things. And not only to remember things, but to remain. And the Holy Spirit of God does that in our hearts and our lives. But the fact is the Holy Spirit in our lives? Is he working in our lives? You know, it scares me sometimes. You know, there's no middle ground with God. No middle ground. And I'll close at this. There's no middle ground with God at all. It's either hot or cold. There is no middle ground. Middle ground is one that even God says in Revelation chapter 3 that he will spew you out. There is no middle ground. But I find it today that we have so-called middle ground Christians. They're neither hot nor they're cold. You know, I've never had somebody asked me since I've been a born-again believer if I was a born-again believer. Since I've been saved, and since I know Christ as my personal Savior, I've never had somebody come ask me if I was a Christian. I think it ought to be revealed on us. Why? Because we have the anointing and the unction of the Holy Spirit of God.